Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Nice to see all of you again this week. We missed you last week. Some of you I haven't seen in a few weeks, and I've missed you even longer. I read a story about a young wife. She was cooking a roast for the first time for her husband, and she got the roast out, and she took a knife, and she cut the end off the roast, and she put it in the pan, and her husband is watching her, and he asked her, he said, Why did you do that? Why did you cut the end of the roast off? She said, well, my mother always did it that way. Oh, okay. So she saw her mom the next day, and she said, Mom, why do you cut the end off the roast? And she goes, well, because my mother always did that. Oh, okay. So now they're both really, you know, trying to think this through and what's going on. And so they both decide to go ask the grandmother, why, when you make a roast, do you cut the end off the roast before you put it in the pan? And she said, well, so it fits in the pan. It was a simple thing. But you see, the mother and the daughter, they did it because they'd seen the grandmother do it, not because they understood why she did it. They just did it because she did it. And you know, it's funny. It's so many times we find ourselves in situations where we'll do things, habits, things we've done for years, and we'll do them because, well, we've always done them. And so we don't stop always and ask why. We just do it because, well, that's how they did it, and that's how I do it. So we do it the same, and we constantly will do those things. And we never stop and ask ourselves, well, why am I doing it this way? What am I doing and why am I doing it this way? I mean, you know, the old saying, ignorance is bliss. You know, if you don't ask, you don't know, it doesn't matter, right? You just go on about your business and you don't have to worry about it. But for me, I think my parents would attest to this. I've always been more of a why person. Why does the toaster work the way the toaster works? Well, take it apart and find out. See, that was how I would look at it. Or, you know, any other question. You know, Daddy, why do we have a red car? Well, because that's the car that we bought when we were on the lot. Why? Because that was the car that fit the kids. Why? Well, because, you know, you have brothers and sisters. Why? Go ask your mother, you know. That would be how we would tend to look at those situations. But asking the question, why? You know, why certain things in our life? And the last time I spoke, I gave the second part of talking about what it is and why we need to be real Christians. And that opened up another topic in my mind, another question for me to ask why. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, brethren. And that question is simply, why has God called us? It's a simple question. Now, if you go back in time, I mean, and since I've been in the church all my life, and I go back and I look at what I've heard growing up, and I go back through the time in the church, and the church will tell us, and has always said that, you know, we're called for a purpose, that we need to preach the gospel, that we need to be a witness to the world of what is to come. And I believe that is a part of it, brethren. I believe that it kind of comes as a result of our tithes and offerings, that as a church, we are able to do those things. And I know when I talk to my wife and I talk to other people about this and ask them, why are we called? I get a lot of different answers. I get a lot of different opinions on it. And I could go into a lot of those. But Eric made a comment in his sermon before me, and he said, we have this, the inspired word of God to go to. And so I don't want to give you my opinion today. I don't. I could stand up here and say, this is why I believe we're called. Or I could go back into literature from the church, any number of churches, and tell you why they think we are called. But today I really would like to try and just look at God's Word. And let's see what God says about why He called us, why we were chosen. You know, when we look in the mirror every day and we see ourselves and we realize what God has shown us, what has been promised to us, the knowledge He has given to us freely, and understand where this world is going around us. And brethren, when we look at this world every week and we see the things that are going on in our political structure, in our health structure, the different things going on with different religions around the world, it's chaos. And if it weren't for the knowledge that God has given us of His plan and what's to come, it would really be very disheartening, I think, to have to sit through this and not know what's coming ahead. God has given us that understanding, though. The prophesied end-time events that are coming to fruition around us on a daily basis, brethren. We have been given that understanding. But why? Why us? Well, today we're going to look at this again. I want to look at it through several questions to try and determine why God chose us. I mean, did God call us because we were special? We were qualified. Is that it? God looked down and said, oh, there's what I want right there. Look at them. They have this talent or that talent. They're qualified. I want them to be a part of my family. Unfortunately, no. Because He doesn't need that. God can do all things without us. So why call us? Why give us that understanding? Well, maybe this great talent we possessed was something that God just had to have in His family, right? He just had to have it right now. We had this great talent, and God needed it right now. No, I don't think so. I don't think any of us have a talent any greater than what God can do. I'm pretty sure that all the things that we're all capable of doing, and I know looking around this room, I know there are a lot of talented people in here, and you're capable of many, many different things. Some of you are painters. Some of you are able to work with computers. Some of you can do, any number of things. But are those the reasons God called you? Is that why you're here today? Is that understanding? Is that why we're here? Or maybe God needed somebody to build the temple, right, in the time of Solomon. Or maybe He needed somebody to help tear down the walls of Jericho. He couldn't have done it unless those people walked around the city, could He? He had no way of tearing those walls down unless they did that. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that God could have done all those things without the help of Israel. If He can create all things, then don't you think knocking down a few walls or wiping out a few tribes as He saw fit were all things that He could have done without getting other people involved? Pretty sure He can. So again, brethren, the question I keep asking, why did God choose me or you or any of us? Why? What is the reason? Let's begin in Genesis. Let's start in the beginning. Let's go to Genesis 21 and verse 12. Because you see, brethren, this isn't something just happened. It's not just a happenstance, just an odd thing that just happened that we're called, that God has given us understanding, that He's opened our minds. You see, God says here in Genesis 21 and verse 12, God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac, your seed or your descendants shall be called. God promised all the way back then that God would call the descendants of Abraham. He would give them understanding, not because of anything that they would do in the future that deserved it, but because God simply promised it. And who are the descendants or the seed of Isaac? Jacob, who became Israel, who became the 12 tribes, who became a great nation. God promised that they would be called or chosen all the way back in Genesis. And God has kept that promise, brethren. Israel was blessed, and Israel was directed by God. We, brethren, the body of Christ, have had His direction and His protection, His blessings and His knowledge, going all the way back to the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's been there from the beginning. It has been passed down and has been shown by God throughout the Bible. And as Eric said, the true word, the word of God given to us here. And God has shown us time and time and time again, those that he's called, those that he's blessed, those that he's chosen. Let's turn to Isaiah 48 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. Israel, God's chosen, called out people. Again, God makes it very clear that he called and was calling them for a purpose, that he gave them understanding. The promise is carried out, brethren. Let's turn back a few pages to another passage that God shows he's calling in Isaiah 41, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Called and chosen by God. God did this, and he had to do this, brethren, he did it for, not for us, but for him. And we'll see that when we get through this later on. So to address the first part of this question, who and how is God calling or choosing as his people? Well, we know that from the beginning of time, no one has ever been called because God couldn't make it without them. History has given us many examples of those that God chose and gave them understanding. And then after he did, then they chose to follow him. They chose to do what God instructed them, to obey God. And as they did this and went through trials, they called out to him. They reached out to him because God had promised he would be with them. You can see examples of Moses and Noah and Samson. I'm sure you all remember how Samson called out to God when he was between the pillars, and he asked God for the strength to bring down his enemies. And every time that someone called out to God, someone that was following God, someone that God had chosen first, given them understanding, and then they followed God because of that. When they called out to God, God helped them. Look at 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We see here a story of David. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7. And we see here, in David's song of praise, we see here in verse 7, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his, God's, ears. David cried out to God, and God heard him because David followed God, because God had given him understanding and had called him. And David believed and followed in what God wanted him to do. Let's turn a few pages ahead to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and in verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your land, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Again, brethren, we see someone that God had called, someone that God had opened their mind to understanding. Why? Because Jabez was something special before that, because he was following God before God called him? No, because he was an honest man, but God called him, and then he continued to follow what God set before him. He followed the path that God wanted him to follow. God chose him, and he was an honorable man, and he followed God, and he called out to him. And when he did, God heard him and answered his call. So God chose the descendants of Abraham because he was faithful to God. The people of Israel were given the blessings from God, not because they did something. They weren't chosen because they deserved it. They were chosen because God had a purpose. He had a plan in store for them and for us today. And that plan is continuing to be carried out. God has a plan, brethren. His covenant with Abraham and his descendants. We aren't called because we have done something to deserve it. We are chosen and given this understanding because of God's mercy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. See, brethren, we can't do something to be worthy of our calling. But when we are called, when God has opened our mind, then we have a responsibility to do something with it, to use what God has given us, to apply it in our lives, in everything we say and do. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Let's turn back just a couple pages to Deuteronomy 14 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." Two separate passages, brethren, saying almost identically the same thing, that God called us to be a people for himself, a special treasure. And you know, brethren, when I look around this room, I see people with talents, but I know that it's not anything that we have done that has got us called by God. But we are able, because of our calling, to learn to be a part of God's family. And that's what God has want. That's what God wants, brother. And that's what he's showing us in these scriptures, what he is seeking. He is seeking to have a family, a people for himself. And I look around this room and I see people who are loving towards one another. Not only their physical families, but loving to one another in this congregation, showing that outgoing concern for one another. And I know that this is what God is seeking from all of us. And I think it's really important that we continue to do that, brethren, that God wants to see how we show outgoing concern for our brother. It's part of our way of life that we have to continue to do. It's so important for God to see us as that special treasure, as he says, above all the other peoples on the earth. And when new people come in, people that haven't been here before, are we able to be friendly with them? Are we able to reach out to them? Are we able to welcome them? I mean, think about the first time that you came, the first time that you attended service. I know it's a long time back for a lot of you, but you have that fear, that trepidation, that unsure of what you're doing and where you're going, and is this the right place to be, and how are these people going to treat me, and how am I going to respond to them, and how are they going to respond to me? Well, these same new people that come in our congregation, brethren, are we able to help them to quell their fears? Are we reaching out to them with the love of family that God has shown us through his love for us as his family? It's something we really need to work on. It's something we all can get better at. God made a promise to Abraham's descendants. Yet not all of those descendants are a part of God's chosen today. Let's turn to Romans 9 and verse 6. Back in the New Testament. Romans 9 and verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are of the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed or descendant shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. God doesn't love them any less because he hasn't yet opened their minds to understand his words, his truth. He hasn't given all of this world fully the understanding of the promise that was made to Abraham. And so many of this world, they're looking for something. They're reading. They're trying to understand what God has planned for them. Yet they haven't, they just don't have that full knowledge and understanding. Because God hasn't yet opened their minds. It doesn't make them any less. It just means God hasn't chosen yet. He chooses. We don't. We can't call. Only God can. So he makes that determination of when. And believe me, brethren, he loves all of us the same, whether we're here or not. He wants all of us to make it. So he will choose when he is going to call. You know, it's funny. This week, Kirk had a customer come in, and the man talked to Kirk the first time he came in for a while. And then when he came back again, and Kirk was busy for a minute, and so I talked to him for a second, and the second became minutes, and the minutes became a half hour. And he really wanted to talk about the government, about religion, about different things that he started talking about Gog and Magog, and I mean, I'm listening to this man, and Kirk and I were talking about it afterwards. Where did this guy come from? I mean, he had a lot of biblical knowledge. You could tell very clearly that this man read his Bible, and he remembered it, and he put certain things together. But he didn't have the full understanding that God gives to those that he's called and chosen at this time. He didn't understand the Sabbath. He didn't understand the holy days. He wasn't keeping those days because God hasn't revealed it to him yet. That's all. It just hasn't got there yet. Doesn't mean it won't. And Kirk and I even talked about it. He was so positive and so, you know, was it our place to say, hey, well, come to church with us. I mean, you know, there is that little bit of you that wants to do that because, honestly, brethren, I'm so happy to be here every week with you. I wouldn't be ashamed to share that with anyone. But I can't call anyone. I can set an example. I can try and do the best I can do in my attitude and my actions for that man, but I sure can't call him. Only God can. Only God can decide if he's going to open his mind and give him the full understanding of what his word means. And there's not a thing I can do to change that. All I can do is set an example and hope that the rest that God will make and choose as he sees fit. Okay, so the ones that God has called, the ones that he has chosen now to be a part of his spiritual family, that spiritual inheritance that we have in the future. Let's turn to Ezekiel 20, verse 12, because we have responsibilities. We have responsibilities because of our calling. We have things that we have to do. Those things did not direct our calling, but after we are called, there are definitely things that we must continue to fulfill and move forward in. Ezekiel 20, and verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. Brethren, we have a responsibility, and God has shown us that keeping his holy Sabbath is a sign that differentiates us. It's a sign of his people. It's a sign of those that he's called and chosen because they see and understand what the Sabbath is. It is different. It is not accepted in this world today. But this day is different, and it's special, and it is a part of our calling, being chosen to be a part of God's family. And it is a very important part that we must do our part to keep correctly. God has not called those yet, but it doesn't make them any lesser than those that He has called, that have received this understanding. Brethren, again, it's just not their time yet. Yet we have been called now, and we have been called, brethren, for a special purpose. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant, talking about Christ, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So we see, brethren, there is a reason to be called. There is a reason to be chosen. There is something for us that is promised by God, an eternal inheritance, something that we are chosen now to be a part of, and we must follow our calling so we can be worthy in the end. Because we have a responsibility. Without calling comes responsibilities. It's not that we are called and all of this just falls in our lap. We have things to do. We have been chosen to be the family with God through God's grace. Let's turn to Galatians 1 and verse 15. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I may preach Him among the Gentiles. You see, brethren, Paul is speaking of his calling coming directly from God and revealing Christ and the truth to him. He didn't go out and find it on his own. No other apostle called Paul and gave him this knowledge and understanding. It came directly from God. That's where our calling comes from. And God makes it clear how special it is that we have this promise. Not because Paul wanted to be called, but simply on God's time, on God's plan, just have we been called in the same way, according to God's time and according to God's mercy. Let's turn back a couple pages to Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We're going to read more of this, brethren, but I want you to look at that scripture to really look at what that is saying to those that God has chosen. That you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. What does that mean to walk worthy? Does that mean we just go about doing the things we've always done? God calls us, hey, great, we're called, okay, and go right back into doing all the things we've done our entire life. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure God is looking for us to change how we live. Change in the way we do things, that we are doing them God's way, that we are seeking to do it by the plans that He set for us, not by our own ideas. Going on, verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering. Long-suffering, brethren, that means sometimes it's going to take a while. You might want to hurry it up, but you just can't. You'd like it to go faster, but God says in His time. Bearing with one another in love. Again, brethren, that word love, that means so much to God and His family. And we sit here as a part of that family. Hopefully, learning every week how to love as God wants us to love our brother, to love one another, to love our neighbor, to love our enemy. All those things are difficult, but all of them are required of those that are called and chosen. So we have to move forward, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You see, brethren, again, God gave it to us because we earned it. Nope. He gave it to us because of His grace. He gave it to us because He loves us and wants us to realize how special that calling is. How special it is to be chosen to be a part of His family. God wants to make sure we understand that. We must walk worthy of our calling. It is a very special gift, brethren, that we have all received because of God's mercy. It is a promise to those that have been called, chosen, and choose to walk humbly with God. You see, we have a part to do. We have a part in this process where we have to choose to walk with God. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, back in the Old Testament again, and verse 14. Oops, almost did it again. 2 Chronicles, that's that one of the two, isn't it? Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. There we go. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. God has promised His heart and name to those that walk with Him. Not temporary. It's not a temporary thing. It's not like, okay, I've chosen you, walk with me, and I'll give you a little blessing for a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to move on. No, God says perpetually, forever, to be with Him, He will walk with you. When you walk with Him. So our promise from God, brethren, our responsibility is we have to humble ourselves and walk with Him. To be with Him, and He will walk with us forever. His inheritance is promised to those that He has chosen. Let's turn to Psalms 33 and verse 12. Psalms 33. And verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. Again, brethren, we have been chosen for a specific reason, for an inheritance that is promised to all that will walk humbly with God. It is a promise. We are a part of the chosen nation of God. Let's turn back to Acts 22. Acts chapter 22. And again, brethren, I apologize for so many scriptures jumping back and forth, but I want this to come from God's Word, not mine. I don't want this to be my opinion. I want this to come from the Word of God, and I hope that's what we can find in this. And we see here in Acts 22 and verse 14, then He said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know His will and see the Just One and hear the voice of His mouth. Do we hear God when He is helping us? Do we hear Him when He speaks to us? When He reaches out to us in many different ways? We can if we're really seeking to be like Him. We can if we realize our calling and what it means. We can hear when God speaks to us. We can understand what He is doing for us. We have been chosen to know God's will and to do it. You see, it's that second part we have to continue to do. And again, I go back to the sermon I gave last time about being Christians, being real Christians. That is all a part of why we are called and what it means to our calling. Acts 4 and verse 28. Back a few pages. Acts chapter 4 and verse 28. To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So we just do whatever we want. No. You see, God tells us specifically to do what He has shown us to do. I've called you. I've given you understanding. You repent. You're baptized. You start to change. And through that process, God helps us to understand what is to come in the future. He helps us to see the big picture and what our place in that picture is. We have a responsibility, brethren, to act on our calling, to be hearing and doing the will of God. That is our responsibility as true Christians. How we act when God has revealed His truth to us is important to our being a part of the inheritance that God has promised to those He has chosen. We each have a specific task to fulfill as the called out ones. Let's turn to John 12 and verse 17. You know, I'm not going to turn there. You know that scripture. John 12, 17 is talking about Jesus calling out to Lazarus. And that story always, you know, it's one of those stories where one of the times in the Bible where the dead is resurrected. One of the few instances where someone that has died has been brought back to life. And Jesus called to Lazarus. He called out to him and He said, "Lazarus, stand up." He raised him up. Much like God has done for us, hasn't He? Because here we are in this world, and we're out there, and we're sinning, and we're doing things that aren't of God, and by our actions, we are dead. Until God gives us understanding, until He calls us, and He raises us up from that attitude, from that way of life we were living, to change us into becoming the type of person that God wants to see in His family. And He does that freely. Because of His grace. And then we have a responsibility, of course, to do our part. We do our part, brethren. We learn to overcome. He opens our minds. He gives us the understanding. He gives us His Holy Spirit so we can follow through with the plan that He has for the first fruits of mankind. And that's us. That is the opportunity we have. That is the blessing that God has given us as to why we are called. Matthew 22 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many, brethren. We are brethren that a select few that God, through His mercy, has called now to prepare us for the time to come. Romans 1:6 calls us the called of Christ. The called of Christ. Through the grace of God, brethren, so as we have gone through many scriptures today, I hope that we can find that nothing we have done warrants us to be called. We haven't done anything in our lives to set us apart where God would say, "Yep, I want that one. That's the one I want." But it's only because of God's mercy, His love for us as our Father. We have been called and given the chance for an eternal spiritual inheritance. It must be done by those that love God and seek to obey Him. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8. In verse 28, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. You see, brethren, it's not our purpose. We don't call one another, or we don't call ourselves because we have this purpose, or we have this thought, or we have this idea in our minds, and that's what we want God to do. It's the other way around. God calls us for His purpose because He wants us to do what He wants us to do, not what we want to do. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Let's turn back to 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Time after time after time, God gives us the instruction. He gives us the direction. He gives us the scriptures to read to understand what's in store for His people. What He wants to see from those He has chosen. He's not looking for great talents in us. He wants to see our commitment. That we understand and we make our election sure because we are doing all we can to follow the right way, to do things the right way. Let's turn back to the Old Testament again to see another passage that instructs us on the responsibilities and the requirements for those that God has called. Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Brethren, we have another example. The actions that we must do to be a part of God's family. The actions that required of those that God has called and chosen now. Those actions are required of each of us. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Paul's admonition to the church in Corinth. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. That you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there are contentions among you. And now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am of, dot, dot, dot. Isn't that where we see a lot of God's body today? Unfortunately, brethren, we see, I am of this or that or this or that, instead of being of one body. God instructs us to be of one body, not to be divided, not to be separate, not to be scattered. He wants us to be of one body. He wants us to do things His way. That's why He called us. That's why He chose us out of this world, so we can be redeemed into an eternal promise. One body, one fellowship. That is what God is looking for. Peace and unity within the body of Christ. Going on in verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. That's us, brethren. We are the foolish of the world that God has called. It's hard sometimes to accept that. We don't want to. Human nature says, no, I'm not that. I'm not the foolish one. He means the other guy next to me. It's not me. But God is speaking directly to all of us. We are all of that, brethren. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Brethren, we aren't gloried. We aren't special because we are called. God makes us special by calling us. It wasn't anything we did to be called. We are simply given this opportunity. Through the Word of God, He shows us that we are called to be a part of His body, a part of His family. That's what He wants from us. We all have a responsibility not to be called, because that isn't something we can do on our own, but to what we do with our calling. That is our required responsibility. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. For you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Again, brethren, we can't call ourselves. We can't call others. Only God can do it. Only God can reach out to us. We are called into God's family to be a part of His kingdom. Not to lord over or to rule over others, but to show love, wisdom, compassion, understanding to those that will come after us. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. Let us walk in our calling, brethren, according to God's will. Galatians 5:13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. But for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Our calling does not give us this open invitation to just go out and do what we want. Oh, we've been called now, so it doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want. Brethren, we have responsibility. That calling just means we have a responsibility to fulfill what God wants to see in us. To fulfill our responsibility. To love our brother as God has shown His love for us. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. We are called, brethren, but we have a responsibility to be faithful. Faithful in our prayers to God. Faithful in our convictions. Faithful in our actions every day in how we live our lives. Not again because God needs us. It's because of His grace, because of His mercy in calling us and giving us this opportunity. A couple closing scriptures. Let's go to 1 John 4 and verse 7. Again, brethren, I know I've gone back and forth through a lot of scriptures today, but I want this to come from the Word of God, to read what God says about this. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And for the last scripture, Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, brethren, as we have looked through these scriptures today, and we seek to answer the question, why are we called? I think, brethren, that it should become clearer to us that it's not because of anything we have ever done. It's not because we have done something to be worthy of it, or our talents or abilities. But in fact, brethren, it's in spite of these things. In spite of these things, God has still chosen to give us this opportunity. Our sins, our shortcomings, our weaknesses, God, through His patience and mercy, has given us the chance to be a part of His family. Our opportunity to be a part of the eternal spiritual inheritance God has promised to those He has chosen can only come to fruition, brethren, when we obey Him and we seek to follow Him, His laws and commandments. Let us all, brethren, be thankful for this opportunity, and let us do our part, making our election sure, loving our brother, and faithfully, prayerfully, Thy kingdom come.